So I think Ali, where are you, Ali? While I kind of give my introduction, he's going to come round and give you a little card. So if you're a couple and you're sitting with your partner, then just take one card. I think everyone else should be able to have one each. Okay, so he's going to come round and give them out. So yes, good morning. It's lovely to be here with you. As Rupert said, my name is Caroline Tyler. And the reason some of you might not know me is that I work in Chad in Central Africa. I've worked there now for 10 years with an organization called Wycliffe Bible Translators. Our vision is to enable all peoples to be able to engage with God's words in a language that speaks to their heart, which is usually their mother tongue. Am I a bit echoey? Is that okay? Yeah? Lots of spares, so take more then if there's spares. We especially like going to places, sort of out of the way places like Chad, where there's lots of languages, over 125, in case you're interested, and places where minority language communities are often marginalized, and where few people have had the chance to properly understand and respond to God's invitation of life in Jesus Christ. Yeah, so that's where I've been the last 10 years. Another challenge for people to access God's word is literacy and education. And not only to access God's word, but also lots of other important information that could help change their lives for the better. And that's the main domain I've been working in this past 10 years. I've been working with local language communities to help them run successful mother tongue-based literacy programs in their communities. So I hope in sharing with you today that you'll get some glimpses into why we think that work is important and what motivates us. Yeah, so before God called me to join Wycliffe, I lived here in Edinburgh and I enjoyed being a part of a community church here. My day job involved trying to teach French and German to secondary school children. With varied success, I must say, but that's what it was. So I'm currently in the UK for 6 months, and we'll go back to Chad in early October. The current plan for my next overseas assignment is that I'll be taking over as the country director for our organization in Chad for the next 2 to 3 years. So that's quite a daunting, but also quite an exciting challenge ahead. As Rupert said as well, I really appreciate all the support I get from CCE in so many different ways. Encouragement, prayer, giving, and even visiting. Elspeth came last year and we had a great time. It's really invaluable, and it's not an understatement to say that I couldn't do it without you. Part of my reason for being back in the UK is to reconnect with my home church, and that's you. So please do invite me. I like food and I like people, or I like people and I like food, not necessarily in that order. So do think about inviting me, and if you're part of a small group here, then why not invite me along to one of your gatherings, whether it's a meal, a Bible study, whatever. If you'd like me to share something, a story or two about Chad, that's fine, but it's not obligatory. So really, it would just be nice to spend some time with you. So do think about that and be in touch. As Rupert mentioned as well, there'll be an opportunity in September on the 13th after the main meeting here to hear more about Chad and to eat together, hopefully some Chadian flavoured meal. And you'd be very welcome to come along. I've also got some new kind of colourful prayer cards with my contact details on the back. So do pick one of them up. I'll leave them out in the vestibule. And look out for my news in the CCE newsletter as well. You can link through to that, or give me your email address and I can subscribe you. So, yes, your prayers, encouragement, and support are invaluable as I serve in Chad. Maybe one thing to bring to your attention for prayer is we heard yesterday that there's been a suicide bomb attack in the capital, in front of the main market in Chad, in N'Djamena. So that kind of changes things, and as you can imagine, brings a lot of fear for a lot of people. So do be praying for Chad at this time, and in the aftermath of that, especially for the church. I was really encouraged by the songs this morning, Come Lord Jesus, come, and your kingdom come, your will be done, even when situations are difficult. So thank you for that. So anyway, back to stories of the kingdom. I've called the sharing this morning, All Are Welcome, Journeying from Exclusion to Inclusion. And I'd like us to take a moment to use the card or the screen in front of us to engage with the theme for today. So take a moment or two just by yourself to look at the painting or at on the screen or on the small cards and think about the following questions. What do you notice? What strikes you? What raises questions? What feelings arise as you look at this painting? I'll give you just a minute or two to think about that quietly, and then we'll maybe share just with some people around about us. So now just turn to one or two people sitting nearby and maybe share something that you've noticed or that struck you or that's made you curious from this painting. Okay. And I don't know whether anybody wants to just share anything that they've noticed or any questions they have with the larger group before we start looking at some background and then explore some scripture. Anyone have anything they would like to share?
I was struck by the diversity of the people around the table.
Mm-hmm, so diversity around the table.
Lots of faiths and lots of professions, it looks like.
Yeah.
Or not professions.
Some not professional.
We were talking about the fact that everybody looks sad and why that might be, or some people look very unsure as well. Mm-hmm. So wondering whether everyone's brought their burdens and their situations with them. It's rather than just being a load of people from different places who look happy. It's kind of showing the range of situation as well, maybe. And I was wondering what the figures on the wall are and whether they're people who've chosen not to be included. I don't know.
So some of you might have not noticed there's sort of people etched on the wall on the left-hand side there as well. Thank you for that. Anyone else got any burning?
Yeah, we were just saying, Brenda was saying she never noticed the kind of the first guy on the right-hand side, the amputation to his arm. And then that made me wonder, I wonder if it's kind of people throughout kind of the Bible who Jesus has taken, like the leper, and then the kind of woman far back left with the kind of blue, kind of maybe being a prostitute, or maybe it's kind of the outsiders who all throughout the Bible and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so outsiders.
Is there another hand somewhere?
We'll just take one more, maybe.
I'm trying to place the clown, or at least he looks like a clown, because he's wearing a kind of a clown's costume with a ruff around his neck. And I thought originally that the flower was part of his costume, and that they would traditionally wear flowers in that kind of position. I don't know how that fits into the pattern at all.
Okay, so it seems like this painting, if nothing else, has aroused some curiosity. So I'm going to share now just some background that I've been able to ascertain from about this painting that might answer some of your immediate questions, and then we'll look at some scripture from Luke 15 as well. So this painting is by a German Catholic priest called Zieder Köder. Some of you may be familiar with him. He's done a lot of biblical-based paintings. In English, the painting is called All Are Welcome, and in German, The Sinner's Meal. The painting hangs in the dining hall of a German-speaking Catholic theological college near Rome, thus the Italian landscape out the door, if you kind of see that. Köder has depicted a version of the Last Supper, but with an unusual group of people around the table, as many of you noticed. The verse that's used with this painting is from Luke 15, verse 2. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. That was uttered by the religious leaders of the day complaining about Jesus. And rightly, we have a motley crew gathered around this table. From sort of left round, we have maybe, but you know, these things are open to interpretation. A Jewish rabbi, a prostitute, a blind beggar, a clown, an intellectual, a high-class rich woman, and an injured African. All outsiders in one way or another, but all given a warm welcome around Jesus' table and offered his love, healing, belonging, forgiveness, friendship, and security. All eyes are fixed attentively on Jesus as he offers them bread and wine from hurting, injured, bloody hands. These hands remind us of the sacrifice he made on our behalf, tenderly offering us wholeness and strength. A single red rose on the table represents the grace of God towards sinners like us. The clown apparently is a motif in this painter's paintings and might represent the human condition in some way. Etched on the wall to the left, we have the father embracing his returning son, welcoming him home with open arms and a big party. The older brother sits beside them, back turned away in disgust. The door is open. I can come and go. Others can come and go too. So I'd just like us to explore some scripture from Luke 15. And then I'm going to just talk a little bit about my journey with this painting. And then we're going to do some reflection on it and with the scripture. Mm-hmm. So I'll invite Brenda up. Could she use this microphone? To read three excerpts from Luke 15. For us, before we move on.
Luke 15, verses 1-2. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. And then verses 20-24. So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son." But his father said to the servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." So the party began. And then verses 15, verses 28-29, and then 31-32. The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I've slaved for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And in all that time, you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you have always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. Amen. And thanks to God for his living and active word.
Amen.
Thank you, Brenda. So, I just wanted to share a little bit about my journey with this painting over the last few years. I discovered it several years ago when I was on an Advent retreat here in Edinburgh. This image sat at a prayer station with bread and wine for taking communion with the Lord. I was not long back from Chad after an exhausting 3 years. I was pretty burnt out, and for one reason or another, in a very dry and broken place spiritually. As I took communion and looked at this picture, I felt a renewed invitation to come and sit with Jesus and learn to enjoy being at his table again. I bought a postcard of the painting, and as I prayed with it over the coming months and engaged with the story of the welcoming Father, God, in his grace, restored me bit by bit to a fuller relationship with him. It wasn't a pain-free journey, but it was liberating and ultimately life-giving in ways I'm still discovering. Fast forward a bit, and this painting offered me yet another invitation, this time to leave the table and venture back out the open door, out from this place of newfound life and comfort, back to a broken and hurting world. I went out, but this time keenly aware of my own brokenness, but taking the flicker of life that God had breathed back into me to share somehow with those around me.